May God bless you on this Reformation Sunday. The first reading is in Psalm 46, beginning with the first verse. God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, and the mountains quake with their surging. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy place where the Most High dwells. God is within her. She will not fall. God will help her at break of day. Nations are in uproar. Kingdoms fall. He lifts his voice. The earth melts. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Come and see what the Lord has done, the desolations he has brought on the earth. He makes war cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the shields with fire. He says, "Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress." This is the word of the Lord. The second lesson is recorded in Romans 3, beginning with the 19th verse. Now we know that whatever the law says, it says to those who are under the law, so that every mouth may be silenced and the whole world held accountable to God. Therefore, no one will be declared righteous in God's sight by the works of the law. Rather, through the law, we become conscious of our sin. But now, apart from the law, the righteousness of God has been made known, to which the law and the prophets testify. This righteousness is given through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. There is no difference between Jew and Gentile, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And all are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus. God presented Christ as a sacrifice of atonement through the shedding of his blood to be received by faith. He did this to demonstrate his righteousness, because in his forbearance he had left the sins committed beforehand unpunished. He did it to demonstrate his righteousness at the present time, so as to be just and the one who justifies those who have faith in Jesus. Where then is boasting? It is excluded. Because of what law? The law that requires works? No, because of the law that requires faith, for we maintain that a person is justified by faith apart from the works of the law. This is the word of the Lord, the Holy Gospel according to St. John. To the Jews who had believed him, Jesus said, "If you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." They answered him, "We are Abraham's descendants and have never been slaves of anyone. How can you say that we shall be set free?" Jesus replied, "Very truly I tell you, everyone who sins is a slave to sin. Now a slave has no permanent place in the family, but a son belongs to it forever. So if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Well, I greet you once more in the name of the all-sustaining name of Jesus. You know, over the past, 3 weeks now, we've had a pretty horrendous time. Many people on the Gulf Coast and, you know, some people even in our area. And, you know, with the advent of the Hurricane Michael, there has been a lot of fear associated with that event. You know, like before it came, we were asking, where is it going to go? You know, how strong is it going to be? Will it hit my area? Will I have damage? You know, I'm sure that I will have the electricity go off, but for how long? Should I leave town altogether for safer places? And so on and so on. And I'm sure that fear continues to some extent with the people that got hit really hard with that hurricane and that storm surge and everything. You know, they ask themselves questions. Where can I get the basics that I need to live? Who is going to be there to help me? Will my life ever be the same? Will I be able to rebuild? Or do I even want to? Should I give up altogether? Life, as we know, sometimes is not kind to us. Life throws us curveballs on occasion. Sometimes people question whether it's even worth it. Well, today is Reformation Sunday. And I got to thinking about that, and I think it's important that we remember and recognize that Martin Luther, even 500 years ago, had fears that he was dealing with, because he was wrestling with the decisions that would influence his entire life. And I'm not talking about just this temporal life. I mean his eternal life. He was wrestling with thoughts about, how can I be good enough to get into heaven? Now, back then, the Roman Catholic Church was the authoritative source of Christian doctrine. And as a monk, I'm sure Martin Luther was very intimately aware of what the Roman Church doctrine was. And basically, it was a works religion. You know, you had to do things. You had to be repentive enough. You had to keep the commandments well enough. You had to do certain things enough so that you could get your name on that saved list. And Luther came to the realization that he couldn't do that on his own. And he couldn't do what the church was teaching that he should do and should say and should be. He couldn't do that. And on top of that, he saw the church twisting scripture to justify some of the unsavory things that they were doing at the time. And so Luther had this internal struggle. He was struggling with guilt. He was struggling with fear, because he had an exaggerated fear of death. No doubt, because the church at the time was preaching that, you know, what the fate was of all of the people who didn't accumulate enough good works, and that fate would have been eternal damnation. Well, Luther's fear about his eternal life caused him to once again re-examine Holy Scripture. And he re-examined also the teachings and the practices of the church. I mean, if you have doubts about what you're being taught, if you're having doubts about what you're reading, if you're having doubts about what people are saying to you, what do? You go back to the source. you go back to the source documents. And here Luther went back to and started reading the Holy Scripture in the original languages. Of course, in the New Testament, the original language was Greek, and he started reading in Greek rather than the common language of the time, which was Latin, that the church was using. And as he read, the Holy Spirit opened his eyes to see the truth in the Scripture, especially when he read from Paul's letter to the Romans, part of which is the basis of our second lesson today, Paul's epistle. And Luther read as well as we can read today, and I invite you to follow along with me a little bit on the back of your worship folder as we go through Romans chapter 3, just like Luther did. Romans chapter 3, beginning with verse 20. It says, "Therefore, no one will be declared righteous in God's sight by the works of the law. Rather, through the law, we become conscious of our sin." And then he read verse 23, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." Well, Luther knew he had that down, Pat. He knew he was a sinner. That was the cause of his concern. That was the cause of his guilt. He knew he was a sinner. We're all sinners. We all fall short of the glory of God, and we all have to pay for that sin somehow, some way. And he knew, as well as we should know, that Scripture tells us that the wages of sin is death. And so he thought, well, if not by good works, as he'd been trying to do all of his life, how can we get into heaven? How can he be saved from eternal death? And then he read verse 21. It says, "But now, apart from the law, the righteousness of God has been made known, to which the law and the prophets testify." Of course, the law and the prophets is the reference to the first five books of the Old Testament. And then verse 22. "This righteousness is given through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe." Is given through faith in Jesus. This is the other side of the equation. Luther knew the first side, that we're all sinners, but the other side of the equation is that God gives us relief. God gives us forgiveness. God saves us through faith in Jesus Christ. Luther finally understood, and he had what I guess you would call an aha moment. He understood, and it changed his life, and it changed our lives too. Verse 24, "And all are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that came by Jesus Christ." Luther finally understood that we don't have to do something to earn God's salvation, because we can't. We can't do it by ourselves. Jesus Christ did it for us. Our salvation comes by way of having faith in Jesus as our Savior. Verse 28, "For we maintain that a person is justified by faith apart from the works of the law." When the Holy Spirit opened Luther's eyes and opened his heart to receive this revelation, it changed him. He was now freed from his fear of never being good enough and therefore never being able to achieve eternal life on his own. And as we know, Luther had to go and tell everyone this revelation that he's had from Scripture. He told them in his sermons, in publishing his works, and by word of mouth. And he had to challenge the current teachings of the Roman Catholic Church. That challenge was sparked the Protestant Reformation that we celebrate and we recognize today. Luther went from being in fear to freedom. Freedom from that fear he had. Freedom from the worry about his sins. And even freedom to live without fear about the repercussions that were going to come on him later on in his life. Now, I know that many of you, most of you, probably all of you, know about Martin Luther and his life. Some of you probably know it by heart. But I think it's important that today, on Reformation Sunday, that we remember the lesson that Luther learned when he read Holy Scripture. You know, I've said this before. It's so important for us to get into and to study and to read and to reread Holy Scripture. Because the Holy Spirit has a way of opening our eyes, opening our hearts, so that we can see the truth in Scripture. Just like we were reading it for the first time. Now, I'm sure, obviously, that Martin Luther, that wasn't his first time reading the Roman Epistle. But it was the first time that he really understood the truth of that Scripture. It was the first time that we could say Luther got it. Luther wanted so badly to hold on to Jesus' teachings. And as Jesus said in our gospel lesson today from John chapter 8, he said, "If you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." Luther was set free by reading that Scripture, the truth contained in that Scripture. Well, how about us? How are we affected by all of this today? Well, obviously, by Luther's revelation over 500 years ago, we're freed from the oppressiveness and from the corruption that was surrounding the Roman Church, the Roman Catholic Church at the time. If that corruption and that oppressiveness had continued without Luther's intervention, we may be living in the same fear that Luther had back then about how we can obtain eternal life. But even more than that, we can use Luther's example and go back to the source of our faith to obtain the answers to those questions that keep us up late at night. Let's face it, we all have concerns. We all have fears of some kind. As I said, when Hurricane Michael was approaching, and even now, many people had or still have fear about this life, even though we know that this life is temporary. Many people don't even acknowledge that there's a life beyond this existence. And so they fear death. What's going to happen to me when I die? Is there life after this? Where will I go? How can I be sure I go to a good place? At some point in our lives, those questions do arise. And without a firm foundation in the truth, a person can become fearful and can become worried. Some go to the extreme and say, "Oh, there's no life after this." And they give in to their old nature to do and to say and to be whatever they want, because, as you know, life is short and then you die. Others live hidden and fearful lives because they don't want to hasten their demise lest the future be horrendous for them. I mean, folks, everyone goes through some kind of stage of this in their life. So what are we supposed to do? Well, like Luther did, let's go back to the source. Let's go back to the person who created us. Let's go back to the one who created all that we see and all that we know. If you think there's no rhyme or reason as to why we're here or why the world is the way the world is, you know, like it happened just by chance, you're fooling yourself and you're sticking your head in the proverbial sand. people like that may think that that frees them up to be and to do whatever they want, but really what it does is it shackles them. It shackles them into sin and guilt and regret when their lives don't turn out the way they thought they would. Our Creator doesn't want us to live in fear like that, shackled by sin, tied up in our own knots of doubt and fear. He wants us to be free from all of that. He created us. He loves us. He gave us the instruction manual for our lives. It's called the Bible. He even gave us the way that we can be and live with Him in everlasting life. And that way is through Jesus Christ. Why do some people stubbornly reject His love? Why do some people think that they have to go their own way? When the storms of our life come in, just like Hurricane Michael came in, He's there to help us, to lessen the struggle, to even relieve the problem altogether. I mean, we just heard about it in the first lesson today from Psalm 46. God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, though the waters roar and foam and the mountains quake in their surging. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. I don't know how many stories and instances I've heard about during Hurricane Michael, about how God was helping people, God was blessing people, God was protecting people. I mean, some of them are even miraculous. There was a lady that was in, or that lives near here, that you know, was in her house surrounded by trees, as we all are surrounded by trees. And she earnestly prayed before the hurricane came that God would protect her from the trees falling on her house and causing damage. I'm sure most of us prayed that same prayer, right? But she came out after the storm, and she was just amazed because she went out after the storm, and there was no damage. There was no tree down. As a matter of fact, there wasn't hardly even a twig down in her yard. And yet she looked out, and all of her neighbors had some kind of tree down or something. Miraculous. And then some of you may have heard or read the story about the man in Mexico Beach that had a house in Atlanta, and he started packing up stuff because he knew it was going to be devastating in Mexico Beach. And he decided at the last minute not to take his boat with him. He usually would have taken his boat, but for some reason he decided to leave his boat behind. And so he parked it in a place that he normally doesn't park it, and he left town. Well, when he came back and saw all the devastation, he was looking around, and his neighbor came over to him and shook his hand and thanked him for saving their lives. He says, well, how did that happen? And the man told them about how they lived in a one-story house on Mexico Beach. Okay, picture that in your mind. And there was four people in the house, two of which were old elderly, and one was a disabled elderly veteran in a wheelchair. They stayed behind because they figured they couldn't get out. And so, of course, the waters came in, the sea came up, the storm surge, and in a one-story house, you can't go very far before you run out of room. And so the water started rising and rising and rising, and they started going higher and higher so they could keep their head above the waters, as we just sang, right? And pretty soon they were bumping into the ceiling, and they figured, well, it's not going to be long now before we drown. But during the storm, somehow that boat got loose from wherever it was parked, and that boat drifted over to that house, particular house, and it sealed itself in the front of the house so that when the storm waters came, the surge waters were coming, the water was diverted around the house because of that boat. And so they were able to have a pocket of air that they could maintain themselves in. And therefore, they survived the storm because that boat sealed off the front of the house. Miraculous, right? God used that boat in a relatively odd way to make sure that those people survived. Miraculous. But you know what? That's our Creator at work. That's our strength and our refuge. And I'm sure there's many other instances like that that you may have heard already, or they're out there. All we need to do is look for them. Folks, God loves us. He created us. He loves us. We may not totally escape unscathed from these storms that come into our life, both physical and, you know, spiritual and mental, but He loves us. And more than that, He wants us to be with Him in all eternity. As Luther discovered, Jesus did all the work for us so that we can be with Him in all eternity. Because as Paul wrote, he said, we are justified freely by His grace through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus. Through Jesus, we don't have to fear the wages of our sin, eternal death, because our sins are forgiven by our faith in Jesus Christ. We are freed from that final death payment because of what Jesus did in our place. We don't have to fear the unknowns in our lives because God gives us the guide to our lives. It's called the Holy Scripture. That's the importance of reading Holy Scripture. We don't have to go through life constantly in fear because we can know, regardless of what happens, that He is with us. And He will strengthen us in our time of need and even in our time of death. As a matter of fact, Luther learned to dispel fear so much that later he wrote about actually using fear in your life. Listen to what he said in one of his sermons. Luther said, yet he who feels such fear ought not despair, but rather use it wisely. One uses it wisely if he permits such fear to drive and exhort him to pray for grace, which takes away his fear and gives him joy and delight in that day. Luther knew what an awesome God we have. He brings us out of fear and into freedom. Fear to free. That's a great place to be. Amen? Amen. Amen.